Lord, enable us to commence this evening with hymn 987. Oh, what amazing words of grace are in the gospel found, suited to every sinner's case who knows the joyful sound. 987.
Let us read from the Word of God. We will read two portions of Scripture, first in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 63 and then chapter 64. Reading in the prophecy of Isaiah chapters 63 and 64. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them, according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Saviour. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble? As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people, to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven, and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our Father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth. The fire causeth the waters to boil. to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity for ever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? May the Lord bless to us that reading from his word, and help us now to bow before him at the throne of grace. O Lord, as we would seek thy face in prayer, we plead that thou would grant us a gracious access at the mercy seat. O Lord, do receive us graciously. Do we plead us? We plead, Lord, accept us in the beloved. Lord, have mercy upon us. Once more we are brought into thy courts. Lord, a favoured place. A place of blessing, a place of refreshing. Oh, may it please thee, Lord, to work in our midst and in our heart. Lord, do bring us away from the cares and the busy scenes of the day, and grant us, Lord, now a little season, we plead, in thy presence. Lord, do come and be one in our midst. We long for thee to come. Lord, may there be that revealing work of thy Spirit. Lord, it is time for thee to work, for they have made void thy law. Lord, do work in us, we plead. Lord, pour forth of thy Spirit. Else we are barren, and we have nothing, nothing but sin. And Lord, we have read thy word which reminds us of the solemnity that even our righteousnesses and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Lord, we know that we have nothing in ourselves. The dear hymn writer spake, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that there may be some Spirit's power and work in our heart to cling to that cross, to plead that precious blood. Lord, without that cleansing power, we have no access at the throne of grace. We cannot come before thee as sinners. Our God is a consuming fire. But oh, for mercy. Oh, Lord, to have that precious blessing, Lord, to know thee, to be brought before thee, Lord, to be taught of God, to be received in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his merits, through his sacrifice, through his love, through his mercy, through his precious blood. Lord, do bring us nigh by the blood of Christ, a precious scripture. May it please thee, Lord, to grant it. And we pray for that refreshing power for which we long. Lord, do not leave us as our sins deserve. We do pray that thou would work and in a mighty way. Lord, may we know something of that miracle of grace. Oh, to be found in Christ Jesus. We would look up unto thee. We pray for thy blessing and thy gracious help, Lord, this night, for each one gathered. Thou dost know our paths, stages in life, whether young or old. And Lord, all are before thee once more, and do bless the younger generation we seek of thee. Lord, as we look back over the years, Lord, we see those solemn things and know of them that have come upon us as a nation. We have turned our back upon thee. Lord, our leaders have not sought thy way nor thy face. And Lord, we now come to a solemn day. And oh, that thou wouldest yet shine through the darkness. Oh, that there might be the light, Lord, of thy word and thy truth. Oh, Lord, send it forth, we plead of thee. Send forth thy Spirit. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Lord, we cry unto thee for thy grace, even in our land. Lord, do bring us back again. Overthrow the evil that exists. Lord, the solemnity of it. How it has increased and, Lord, risen up. And how solemn that so many are taken in by it. Yet, Lord, we know thy word, that Satan is a deceiver, the father of lies. Oh, Lord, thou hast said, I will choose their delusions. Lord, solemn truths, but oh, that we may be spared and delivered from those solemn things that sin brings upon the land. Lord, we are no better than any other, we confess before thee. We would come like others in thy word that thought of the sin of the nation and confessed it before thee. For Lord, we are part of the land, one of them, Lord included. And yet, oh, that in thy mercy we trust. Lord, there are those better things that the world knows nothing of. And Lord, we pray that we may feel them this night in our soul. Lord, do send some manna down from heaven, we plead of thee. We have been well supplied, Lord, for our bodies this day. We live in days of comfort, rather than that which our forefathers did. Yet, Lord, we plead that thou wilt not send leanness into our souls, but oh, that there might be that stirring, Lord, that seeking, that Spirit's work, that wrestling, Lord, oh, for a blessing. And so do hear the prayers of thy dear people, Lord, the prayers offered up for this night, and that thou wouldest come, and Lord, do speak unto us. Make us to hear thy voice, we plead of thee. Lord, we long for thee to be made known. Lord, we long for that precious work of grace in the soul. Lord, how we have come. There may be those trials, there may be afflictions and burdens and cares, doubts and fears. There may be sorrows and griefs and, Lord, difficulties in the pathway. Many stones, as it were, Lord, to be dealt with. But, O Lord, O that thou wouldest guide us through. And, Lord, grant us, Lord, as we walk here below, that access at thy throne of grace. That, Lord, as we walk through the darkness at times, there may be some light of thy Spirit. Lord, some shining. We pray for thy blessing now in this evening time. And Lord, so do bless all the dear people here. Be with them in all their needs and burdens. Go before them, those that bear the burden of the heat of the day. Lord, thou dost know their path. Lord, do uphold them, do strengthen them, and do bless the officers of the church here, and grant them, Lord, to know thy presence, or that they may feel thee dear. Do direct them in ways that are right. And Lord, do have mercy upon them. Build up the church, we plead of thee. Grant them a day of increase, a day of grace. Lord, we long for these days to dawn, to come. May it please thee, Lord, to work that sovereign work. Lord, that one shall be brought before the people. Lord, to put on Christ. Oh, that, Lord, thou wouldest work that sovereign work. That, Lord, there may be that Spirit's work in the soul. Lord, that desire to follow in the footsteps of a dear Redeemer. Remembering those words of the Lord Jesus, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Lord, we fail so often, we confess it. We pray, Lord, to understand a little, as it were, from a darkened soul, the blessings of those commandments, the righteousness in them. Lord, those things that we cannot do in and of ourselves. Oh, that thou wouldest then work in our heart. We do plead of thee to be with dear older friends. Grant them their strength for their day. Lord, do grant encouragements by the way. Seek thy blessing on those dear ones in the various homes. And do be with the dear friends there, many in great weakness and frailty. And Lord, do have mercy upon them too, in their latter end. Oh Lord, do grant the spirit of faith. And may there be those comforts by the way. Those seasons, Lord, of meditation upon the way that thou hast led them. And so do lead thy people still here below. We plead unto thee. Lord, we pray for every mercy. Lord, our sins are great. They are many. And we commit them daily, hourly. Lord, so often thoughtlessly. How quickly they rise up within us. Oh, do have mercy upon us, Lord, we plead. Lord, do come, and Lord, do cleanse in the precious blood of Christ. Oh, to be plunged beneath that flood. The dear hymn writer says, all who are plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And oh, may we be like those of whom he said the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Oh, the language, may it be ours. And there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. Lord, that is mercy, and we do plead for it still. So do hear prayer, Lord, for thy dear ones. Lord, where there are afflictions, may it please thee, Lord, to grant healing mercies. Where many suffer, we plead with thee that thou wilt ease their pains. Lord, where many are cast down and filled with sadness and grief, Lord, we pray that thou would grant that spirit of comfort, that thou be to them the God of all comfort. So, Lord, do have mercy upon us. Do bless, Lord, our causes of truth. seek thy blessing and presence upon us. Lord, do grant that time of increase amongst us as we've sought. Lord, do grant that Spirit's work in the soul. And do continue with us, Lord, we plead of thee. And grant that we may stand upon those truths of which Paul said, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, he says. O Lord, may we stand upon those things that we believe, those things we have been taught, those things that we receive, those things that we know and love, and thy people too, whom we would love for the true sake. Lord, we pray for each and every one. Do bless the labours of thy servants of this evening hour, and be with them, Lord, in all that they undertake, in thy name, in thy love, and in thy fear. Do make them a blessing, we plead of thee, to thy dear people here below. And Lord, may all the honour and all the glory, Lord, be thine. So do come, we do cry. Lord, do grant that live coal from off the altar for this poor sinner. Set the tongue loose. Do grant ears to hear, Lord, for the company gathered. And that, Lord, there may be that to take to our homes so that we might not be empty sent away. Lord, we pray for these mercies and for thy grace. Lord, how much we have and how many blessings are ours. Grant us, Lord, a spirit of thanksgiving for all thy many mercies, and all to receive that grace of repentance for our many sins. O Lord, do hear our prayers. Lord, do work in our midst. Do pardon, forgive all sought amiss. Do go beyond the poverty of prayer. We plead for every mercy and every grace, as we would seek all, in Jesus' dear name, and for his sake we ask it. Amen.
Hymn 324. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the Scripture assures us, the Lord will provide. 324.
Seeking the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the verse you will find in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 63, the verse 14. Isaiah 63, the verse 14. As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people, to make thyself a glorious name. The verse reads, as a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people, to make thyself a glorious name. Isaiah is recounting and looking back to the days of Moses in the thought here. How the people of Israel, the children of Israel, were led. Verse 12 says, thy Holy Spirit that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm. And here we have this thought, as a beast goeth down into the valley. The meaning I understand is this, the animal being free in its spirit. If you've ever looked at the herds as they may descend into a river, they go down there, there is nothing to impede them. They have a way before them. They have the provision as they enter into that valley. And most often what is at the bottom of a valley but a river, they can then enter in. There is that cooling effect, refreshing effect. There is that ability to relieve their thirst. And we have here this picture, is imagery, if you will, of dear Isaiah as a beast goeth down into the valley. Some years ago, we were privileged to be with dear friends in America. We were taken for a few days to the Yellowstone National Park, and we saw the black bear at the side of the road. And although he was not fully grown yet, a large animal, and there was nothing in his way, and we saw him wander off down into the valley. And this picture came to mind as these words entered into my soul. There is the beast, and yet the beast is in the hand of God, as the children of Israel were. All provision that the Lord gave them, the psalmist says, that thou givest them, they gather. And so these animals, as it were, they have that free range. They have that God-given ability. And how the Lord led his people in a similar way. When they went down into those valleys, they would have had no fear in their soul. The Spirit of the Lord was with them and upon them. The presence of the Lord went before them. They had the cloud, did they not, that was there by day. And they had the pillar of fire that was there by night. There was the presence of the Lord, evident, clear, seen, known. Oh, that might be the Lord's blessing and mercy in the latter day. We live in a dark day spiritually. But oh, may the Lord grant his dear people to be like this beast that goes down into the valley. How the Spirit of the Lord led the dear ones here. They went in all their power. They went, as it were, in a spirit of fearlessness, because they knew that the Lord God was there. This was a place where the Lord, as it says, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. What solemn times we have here below. I'm not thinking of the nation, though we are in a solemn place, we confess it. But I'm thinking more of our own soul and our own spirit. How often Satan rises up within us. How those fears and those doubts come in. How that spirit of rebellion can rise up. How we sin. Yet the Spirit of the Lord did not leave his people. Remember what was said in verse 10, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. For a season, as we know, the children of Israel did not receive, as it were, those mercies that perhaps they thought they had because of their rebellion. Happened more than once. It was almost a solemn accounting, recounting for what they had done. They vexed his Holy Spirit. And yet, they then thought, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? Where is that work of his grace? The greatest need in our soul this night is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. If there is no movement in the soul, if there is no quickening power and work, if the Lord has left us because of our spirit of rebellion, how solemn is the language in verse 10, he was turned to be their enemy. Friends, I trust that we know that the Lord is not against us. The Spirit of the Lord still did continue. We read through the Old Testament in the earlier part of it, and on how many occasions did they tempt the Lord? Yet how many times also did the Lord look upon them? And we read, then he remembered the days of old. There was that looking back, even in the heart of the Lord. Oh, may we, as we live in a difficult day, spiritually I'm thinking of, the day when it would seem that it's a day of darkness, a day of difficulty, our longing is for the Spirit of the Lord to work. As the Lord withheld his Spirit from us, it has been our sin, our unbelief, I confess it. I'm not speaking, as it were, for all of you. I know, I'm sure that we may feel it in our soul, that some of you may think that this is strong language, but it is, because of our rebellion. You see, not one of us, as it were, can say that the older we become, the better we become. A dear friend who was a member of our cause at Bexley was in the Harpenden home, and at the age of 93 he was very close to those last days, and he felt it in his soul. And he had days of great distress, and it was for this all he could say was 93 years of sin. But the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest, and he was seen not long before he passed away. And what a difference there was in the spirit and in the heart. And he said, he has come. How did he come? Well, he came with those precious words, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Lord caused him to rest. He brought him into that spirit of that place where the precious blood of Christ had dealt with his sin. And that is mercy. The Spirit of the Lord caused him. We can see here very much the language of Elihu in Job, where Elihu says, of God he causeth it to come. Here the language is, the Lord caused him. As it were, he brought it all about. It's all the hand of the Lord at work here. It was the Spirit of the Lord that brought this to pass, brought him into a state of rest. But only through mercy. This is my opening thought. Think of their rebellion. Yet the Lord had mercy upon them. So often they received mercy in the midst of all of their sin. They were not all consumed. There was a remnant left. There was a number that continued. There were those that did enter into the land of Canaan. The Lord that says 40 years old was, for 40 years he was wrathful for the people. 40 years he dealt with them. 40 years he kept them out of the land that was the land of promise. The land, he said, that would flow with milk, with honey. Because of their rebellion. That was the reason why even Moses himself, as we know, he could only view it from a distance. And that before he passed away. He was taken up, was he not, by God to the top of the mountain Pisgah and given a view, but he never entered in. You see, and yet the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest, even Moses. And Moses' sin was unbelief. Moses, as we know, did not speak on behalf of the Lord as he should have done on one occasion. Because of that, it was the waters of Meribah. Of course, we can go back to the time when we can see how Moses' unbelief, his sin, was revealed. Lord, we know we're no better than Moses. We understand our sin. What a great mercy, though, that the Spirit of the Lord still brings these things to pass. Still that sovereign work, a gracious work, a precious work. And what of you and what of me? Or have we gone down into the valley? And perhaps it may have been that valley of affliction, a solemn place to be, where matters in the Lord's hand came upon us, difficulties increased, solemn things were passed through. But there is deliverance. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, says the psalmist, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Then the Lord caused him to rest, brought him through, granted the day of deliverance. Now a better day. As the beast went down into the valley, so the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. You see, there was refreshing, there was blessing, there was mercy. There was the Lord's hand. The Lord did bring all these things into place, as it were. They all came into our pathway. We lived through them. We lived them out. They may have been dark days. They may have been days of great distress, difficult days. Yet the Spirit of the Lord brought them all to a place of rest. Because this is also another word, of course, for peace, is this thought of rest. And we think of it in those various ways of when we become so weary and the strength comes to its end, then there has to be a time of rest. The Spirit of the Lord brought this peace and brought it into the pathway. Have you felt that and known it? Perhaps you've walked it out. You look back over the years and you can say, oh, I was no better than a beast going down into that valley. But then the Lord's presence was there. The Spirit of the Lord was there. That power was at work on my behalf. He dealt with me. He may have brought us down. The Lord will bring his people to that place of humility. The Lord will have all bow before him. For we are nothing. Or may we enter into the presence of the Lord in that sweet spirit of Paul when he says, though I be nothing. And Gadsby apparently used to often say those similar words, less than the least of all saints. Friends, we are as nothing in the presence and in the sight of God. Yet this work, it has never ceased. It continues to this day. The Lord has begun it. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. How did he begin with us? Perhaps we were like that beast that went down into the valley. Perhaps we thought that we would be brazen and fearless, could deal with all things in the way. But then the Lord where he caused so much to come, so much that the children of Israel had to enter into, and so much that they experienced. Yet they could, in that day when they were caused to rest, look back upon it. If you read through the account of the days of Moses, you have to read on into the book of Joshua, and you'll get to the very end of Joshua's life when you can read of how the Lord had brought the children of Israel to rest. Not until then. There was all that had to be done. Joshua to fight many battles, of course. He had to go forward. He had that commandment, Moses, my servant, is dead. He was to be prepared. He was given that word, was he not? Fear not, be strong, have not I commanded thee? And we went forward. Oh, may the Lord work in us, and may he cause us not only to go down into the valley, but to meet him there, you see. This is the point, isn't it? The Spirit of the Lord was there. His work, it goes on. The Lord says, I will work, and who shall let it? It's a great blessing and a mercy when we can read the Spirit of the Lord caused him. The Lord was in the matter. The Lord brought this to pass. It was the Lord's work, bringing his people finally, eventually, after many days, after many difficulties, after many trials, many temptations, many hardships. And let us remember, there were many battles. It was true warfare, was it not? How many battles did the children of Israel have to fight before they were caused to rest, brought to this place? But the Lord did it. It did come to pass. Whatever we're going through, even this evening time, even this day, whatever path of trial you may be brought into, there will be deliverance. There will be that day of rest. The Lord does not leave his people in that state where there is no rest. We read a solemn word, as it is in this prophecy of Isaiah. There is no rest. Of course, there is no peace, rather, to the wicked. The wicked, where they have their wickedness, their iniquities, there is that solemn language of Isaiah's writing. There is no peace. They cannot have it. They do not realize it, but they shall never receive it. Isaiah 57 closes, verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's not the only place. It's twice, of course, in this book of Isaiah, where the Lord speaks in that solemn manner. There is no peace, of course, to the wicked. Solemn truth. Again, it's the closing of chapter 48 in exactly the same language. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. But the Lord is merciful to his own. They are not counted before him as the wicked. The Spirit of the Lord is not upon the wicked, except to judge them. Judgment will come. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Solemn truth. But the Spirit of the Lord will deal with his people, will deal with their rebellion, as the Lord did. It was dealt with. They did receive judgment. They were brought to those days when they had to cry and plead for mercy and for forgiveness, when they knew that the hand of the Lord was against them, as we have noticed. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. As we know, there were those times when Israel went down into the valley to fight, and because of their rebellion, the battle was lost. But, dear friends, this is the final state of the Lord's dear people, when the Lord causes him or her to rest. And that spirit of rest, when it's in your soul, and again, Job himself says, doesn't he, that when the Lord God giveth quietness, he says, who then can make trouble? You know, when the Lord brings peace into your soul, It truly is the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Have you known any of it? Peace with God. How can we make peace with God? I can assure you that you cannot. Neither will you. None can. Then how do we receive peace? Why, this man, he is our peace. His precious blood, that is peace. That brings peace. That's the only way for peace to enter into your soul, when you know the power, the application of that precious blood. This man, he is the peace. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that the Spirit of the Lord may enter into our soul. Grant that deliverance, that work within us, and grant us peace. The glorious fact peace is when the Lord gives it. It is a great blessing. It is mercy received. It is complete forgiveness of sins when we feel it. That beautiful language of Isaiah again, chapter 43, verse 1. Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Friends, if that's ever been spoken to your never dying soul, that will cause you to rest in Christ Jesus. You see, these people were living many hundreds of years before the coming of the Lord. But it was the Spirit of the Lord, which, as we know from the word of his grace, refers to the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God. All the work was there. They needed redemption. They were sinners just as you and I. They needed mercy. Where could they go? What could they plead? Why, they must come and bow before him. But I believe they did know. David wrote of it, did he not, in the Psalms on so many occasions? And dear Jonah says it, doesn't he? He says the God is his Saviour, his salvation. What solemn language of that man. How much he had to learn in all his disobedience. And how we're like that, are we not? How quickly we turn away from the Lord. And we not, will we not listen? No, because our nature is full of sin. It's transgression. And yet, there is forgiveness. The Spirit of the Lord caused him. Or you must come back. You cannot walk that way of darkness. You must be released. You must come out of the prison. You must be set free. Or to know that language of the prisoner set free from that dungeon, that solemn place. You know, John Bunyan wrote like that, did he not, in the book The Pilgrim's Progress. He spoke of Christian. He says that giant despair caught him, locked him up in Doubting Castle. And he could not find the key. For many a time, a long while, he was there in that Doubting Castle. And then he remembered he did have a key. And the key was called Promise. He says he put it into the lock and it turned. Ah, when the Lord brings his people free. Why, when he speaks to them the truth. Remember what he said in the Gospels. That the people of God should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What is the truth? Why, the truth in Christ Jesus is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the truth of those who are in Christ Jesus is this, that their sins are pardoned. They are set free. They are made free. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from that law of death and the spirit of it and that sin. See, there's freedom, glorious freedom in this time of causing to rest. What a time it must have been to the dear children of God. They did not have to go forth to battle. They did not have to fight anymore, as it were, those terrible battles where people died, where so much took place, people were injured. Families may have lost loved ones and all the difficulty of that time. But the Lord, when he caused him to rest, what a time of blessing. Now there were no need for the armies to be put together. No doubt the men could now go out and they could do so much in preparing the fertile land. And there was that land. That was the way they were to come. That land that the Lord said would flow with milk, with honey. But all you need to be in a state of rest to have some pleasure in it, to have some blessing from it. And so Isaiah says, so didst thou lead thy people. We fully understand it is the leading of a gracious God. And the Lord Jesus Christ set before us as that great shepherd of the sheep. Or he has led his people. Or have you been led to the foot of the cross? Oh, to see a precious Christ. The Lord will cause you to rest when your sins are forgiven. But to see one suffering, bleeding, dying there, so didst thou lead thy people. They are to look unto him. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And surely they look upon one who was pierced for them, who bled, who died, who suffered, who bore their sin, bore their iniquity, took their punishment away. Doesn't dear Paul write in such beautiful language where he speaks of those ordinances that were against us, all those transgressions and iniquities, he says, nailing them to his cross, nailing them there. Oh, that's when the Spirit of the Lord causes you to rest in Christ Jesus. We do pray for this Spirit's work. Oh, that the Lord may cause us to rest. We are in the Lord's mercy. We are drawing to the close of another day. As we may be spared, if the Lord grant it, we shall come to that time when we shall have a night's rest. But whatever rest we may feel here below, you know, the rest that God gives is not fleeting. For if we're spared, the night's rest will end and another day will be given to us. But this rest is everlasting. And we can think of those who, having gone through this earth, having been brought through many trials, many difficulties, the Lord causes them to rest. Yes, they have ceased from all that they had to do. They have ceased from their labours. Now they rest in Christ forever. And they rest in that state of glorious peace. We can see here, so didst thou lead thy people. Are we being led in that right way? This is the way which the Lord will have his people to go. Even Solomon spoke of it in his prayer at the dedication of the people, of the temple rather. He spoke of the people like this. He said, so teach them to walk in that right way, wherein they should go. So we pray for that leading, that work in the soul. So didst thou lead thy people. And it is as the dear Saviour spake, did he not? He gave that commandment to his disciples, follow me. He led them. He led them forth by the right way. You can come to that beautiful language of the 107th Psalm, where the people of God were led forth by the right way. It has the meaning, surely, that there was that which would be wrong. And as the Lord Jesus Christ revealed, there are two ways. There's a broad way, an easy way, that leads to destruction. There's a narrow way, a straight way. It's a difficult way, but that leads to everlasting life. And he said, few there be that find it. Oh, what have we found? So didst thou lead thy people. Are we led in that right way? Do we feel it? Is not this often a prayer in our soul, in our cry, Lord, guide me, direct? It's a very common prayer in the Scripture, that seeking spirit. You know, we do need to be led, do we not? We do pray for that hand upon us. Oh, that the Lord would lead me in that right way. So didst thou lead thy people. Well, I trust that we feel something of it, that leading, guiding hand, the hand of the Lord going before us, keeping us in the way, to be preserved in that way, so that when this short life is ended, the Lord will have led us into that state of being caused to rest. And he then says, does Isaiah, to make thyself a glorious name. When the dear people of God came into that land, that promised land, they glorify his name. They can praise and honour and glorify him. This is the way which the Lord has led us. David wrote of these matters, did he not, in the 23rd Psalm. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Eternal praises to be put before a gracious, loving one that has brought us all that way, and that way of safekeeping, now into that eternal place. Now, it was to be that resting place, of course, for Israel for a season. Very soon, of course, their sin and iniquity rose up, their rebellion continued, and soon, even as Isaiah records it, the enemy came, and so much happened. There were those battles once again that were lost, those days of captivity. I can remember being someone who does love my history, and if you read the account even of the natural history of the city of Jerusalem, you will see that it is a city that has been reduced to the ground more than any other upon this earth. And the historians can prove it was 39 times that it is known that the city of Jerusalem has been brought down to nothing. Friends, you may be amazed at that number as I was, but think of what took place, that spirit of rebellion, how it rose up, or the heart of man. This is what causes us grief, is it not? Oh, my heart, my evil heart, no better than they. If we had been amongst them, would we have stood out? Would we have been found amongst that number that stood in that right place? Friends, we have those concerns, do we not, over our own poor soul. But, you know, the Lord raised it up again and has done so over the years. And it is even this day, although not accounted solemnly by the United Nations as the capital city of Israel, yet the scripture does. And I do believe, and Almighty God in heaven sees it. Look upon Zion, what is spoken of here? Why, this is this city. Yes, this glorious place. Oh, it's a place that the Lord looks upon. Listen, this is why I felt to include chapter 64. I read you the language, and it is this. Verse 8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation, our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Now that was Isaiah's day. Isaiah, of course, prophesied of that captivity that would come in the days of Zedekiah, in those days of Jeremiah. And that was 150 years later after the death of this man. You see, the Lord, it is this theme, isn't it? It goes on. It continues. There is no changing here. I am the Lord God, I change not, he says. But the great mercy is this, he does not change towards his people. They can cry unto him as dear Isaiah did in verse 15, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. What a cry is here. Where is thy zeal and thy strength? The sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me, are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. We see the Lord will make to himself a glorious name. Oh, the Lord says that he will be glorified. He says, my glory I will not give to another. The glory is his. Have there been those occasions in our path when, seeing the deliverance of the Lord has caused you to rest? You have felt his leading hand, and now the Lord has a glorious name. By the name of Father that is spoken of here, the name of Redeemer, yes, the name that is glorious. Thy name is from everlasting. The name of Jehovah, of course. And again, a fascinating thought. If you read through, you will see the word Lord so often, as it is even in this chapter 63 and in this verse 14, capital letters. What be the original of the Hebrew? The word would be this. It isn't written. Jehovah. Jehovah. You might say, why did they not put Jehovah in there? If we understand the spirit of the Jew, of the Hebrew, that name was so precious, they would hardly say it. They could not bring themselves to utter it. It was so high, so holy, so precious. The Lord God Almighty that reigneth. And so, I can assure you, you can find this out. A compendium will prove it. The word Lord, as this form here, all in capital letters, is translated 6,510 times throughout the scriptures, and only four, Jehovah. Yet the underlying word is Jehovah. Now that is the Lord that is spoken of here. How high he is. A glorious name. This is my reason for saying it. A glorious name. A name so high, so holy, and yet so precious. And then think of the name of Jesus, the eternal Son of God. What more glorious a name is that to plead before the Father's throne? You plead that precious name, his merits and his blood, his sacrifice. Yes, all that you need for your poor soul, your sinful soul. Oh, but you can plead this glorious name. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, this name is glorious, the name of Christ. So he is to be praised, and he will be praised. And it is a reference, I believe, to that which throughout the ages was still to come, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of his coming. Isaiah saw it, of course, he prophesied of it in so many ways. We can go to Isaiah 9, and we have the language there, and we can think of him in Isaiah 53 too, in the time of his crucifixion. Even notice the opening, I believe, in a most beautiful way of this, chapter 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? Who is this? Who is referred to here? Why, it's Christ. What was Edom? Why, Edom is given to us surely as all that is evil. Edom, of course, was Esau, another name for him. What was Bozra? Bozra was like Jerusalem, the capital city of Edom. Think of the place where he had been. What are these wounds? Why, I received them in the house of my friends. Dyed garments from Bozra. This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. And then the answer Surely this is the Lord Jesus Christ, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Of course, we have again another picture of him, verse 2. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? His garments stained with blood. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my hand, is in mine heart rather, and the year of my redeemed is come. See, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The year of my redeemed is come. His coming, he came to save, a glorious name, the precious name of Christ. Oh, may we see it as very much like the Hebrew, the Jew would see the name Jehovah, a glorious name, a precious name. Oh, may we be careful in our thoughts toward it, but oh, to see that glorious one, how precious he is. We can then enter into dear Peter's language in 1 Peter 2, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, a glorious name. We have to plead that name before the Father's throne, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth to save sinners, says Paul, of whom I am chief. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You plead that glorious name. And the Father loves to hear that name because it's the name of his eternal Son. This is my beloved Son, he says, hear ye him. Well, I would leave these thoughts with you. Oh, that the Lord would lead us and direct us in those paths that he will have us to go, however that path may be, whether sadness, sorrow, affliction, trial, hardship, or even those days of joyfulness. And yet, there is nothing like this eternal spirit of rest. When the Lord causes his people to rest forever, they have ceased from their labours, they enter into their rest. We read in the book of the Revelation, they've entered into their rest. It's resting in the presence of God eternally. So didst thou lead thy people. Here they will enter in. Here they shall come. And all to make thyself a glorious name. They cast their crowns before him. They bow before the glorious Lamb. And they sing an eternal song. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive honour and riches and power and blessing and so on. See, it's a glorious name. May the Lord grant us to know it and to feel it in our soul. May he add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and there will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace, what glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033. Thank you.
O Lord, do pardon all thy pure eyes have seen amiss. We seek thy blessing upon thy word. Oh, may it be written upon the fleshy table of our heart. Do take us home in peace and thy safekeeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.